21.
Adopt Digital Equity Action Plan and direct the Office for Community Technology to implement the plan with partners.
Very pleased to welcome our team of experts to kick off this presentation about how we become a city where everyone has access to the world. Mary Beth, welcome.
Great. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Mary Beth Henry with the Office for Community Technology. I'm delighted to be here. In fact, I'm so delighted that I woke up at 3:45 a.m. this morning. I'm sure you've never had that experience. I think that most of us would agree that access to the internet in today's digital world is essential. Jobs, healthcare, education, bill paying, socializing, they're all online. Yet we know there is a divide between people who have access to the internet, a device, and know how to use it, and those that don't. What does it look like in our region? It's the 15% of our households that don't have internet at home. The divide rises to 18% for those with income under $30,000, 28% for those 65 and older, and 30% for Hispanic households. These are statistics, but there are real people behind the statistics. As author William Gibson says, the future is already here, it's just not evenly distributed. A community coalition called the Digital Inclusion Network, or DIN, formed in 2014 to raise awareness, to urge action on digital equity in our region. DIN is made up of schools, libraries, ISPs, the tech industry, local government, and nonprofits. DIN also served as the advisory group for this plan. The community engagement process began with 5 focus groups for historically underrepresented populations: Spanish, Chinese, Vietnamese speakers, people with disabilities, and African Americans. Thanks to an Office of Equity grant, the focus groups were conducted in the speakers' native languages, Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese. The focus group findings confirmed data from national sources about barriers: the cost of home broadband, availability of affordable devices, and absence or scarcity of culturally specific training are all barriers to adoption. Other commonly mentioned barriers were low service in some areas, mistrust of service providers, and a lack of understanding of contract language. 3 workshops were held in the fall of 2015 that brought together a broad cross-section of community organizations. Workshop participants' ideas and dedicated engagement in the process generated the community-based actions that are at the heart of this plan. Participants worked collaboratively to establish goals, set objectives, and identify actions for the next 3 years. Partnership opportunities emerged and organizations coalesced around specific actions, such as supporting initiatives to assist people from underrepresented populations to prepare for and find jobs in the technology economy. We're not asking for funding today, but we did submit an item for council consideration that I hope you will take up. In conclusion, the Digital Equity Action Plan's mission is to bridge the digital divide for excluded members of our community with affordable access, training, and tools. And it's our collective job, government, internet service providers, nonprofits, educational institutions, businesses, and our citizenry to address the digital divide in a meaningful manner so that anyone who wants to be online can get online, have a device, and know how to navigate. I want to call out a special thanks to Commissioner Fritz and Saltzman, who led the development of the broadband strategic plan, where digital equity was first identified as a critical need in Portland, and Mayor Hales for his leadership currently on digital equity. As Alan Kay said, the best way to predict the future is to invent it. We have inventors in our community today who can create a future of digital equity.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Who'd like to go next?
Good morning, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. I am Cindy Gibbon, the Access and Information Services Director for Multnomah County Library, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to come before you today with this Digital Equity Action Plan for Portland and all of Multnomah County. It has been a real pleasure to work with Mary Beth Henry and her staff, with other colleagues, and with so many committed community partners to bring this plan into being. I ask for your support today, and I'll be asking for the support of the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners and the Multnomah County Library District Board next Thursday, April 14th. Digital equity and inclusion work has been a long-term commitment for Multnomah County Library. We've been providing public internet access and technology training in our library since 1996. This year, community members will use library public computers to get online about 1 million times. And they will log on to our public Wi-Fi about 1 million times, another 1 million times as well. We provide technology training and assistance, including classroom training, public labs, one-on-one appointments, and general assistance in Spanish, Russian, Chinese, Vietnamese, and Somali, in addition to English. That's wonderful, right? And yet, it isn't enough. That does not accomplish full digital equity for our community. Imagine what it's like to have to go to the public library every time you need to work on a job application or a tax return, do homework, apply for college or for a scholarship. It's a huge cost in lost opportunity and time for individuals and families that are already marginalized by economic hardship, disability, language barriers, aging, and other challenges. The Digital Equity Action Plan is about bringing together a broad coalition of partners from government, education, community-based organizations, and the private sector, combining our collective resources to achieve digital equity and inclusion for our community. Through collective action and shared commitment, we can make sure that everyone in our community has access to affordable broadband internet at home, a device that allows them to complete essential online tasks successfully, and the training to use both with confidence. In today's world, digital access is essential to educational and economic success, to full participation in our digital economy and in community life, even to better health outcomes. Thank you for supporting this important work. We look forward to coming back to you regularly to report on our progress.
Thank you, Cindy. Thanks very much. Good morning, Matt.
Hi. I'm Matt Timberlake, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. I'm the IT Portfolio Manager for Multnomah County and Multnomah County Library. And I want to thank you for this opportunity to talk with you about the Digital Equity Action Plan, which I've had the pleasure of working to develop with the library, the Office of for Community Technology, and others, other organizations around the county. Plans like the one before you are being formulated across the country. There is a growing national dialogue about digital equity. It has become recognized as a basic requirement for a society in which all people can thrive and contribute. Cities and counties across the country have found that fostering digital inclusion has direct impacts on workforce development, economic growth, educational status, and civic participation. We believe that the City of Portland and Multnomah County should join in this national effort, and that adoption of the Digital Equity Action Plan is an important step towards increased digital access for all of our citizens. The most recent numbers show that nationally, less than half of Americans and the bottom 20% of income have access to the internet at home, compared to 95% of households in the top 20%. The degree of urgency around digital equity was recently highlighted by President Obama's announcement last month of Connect All, a national project to deliver broadband and access to technology for all Americans. The program calls for nonprofits, businesses, technology experts, and local governments to join a national effort to reach the Connect All goal of connecting 20 million more Americans to broadband by 2020. The National Digital Inclusion Alliance, of which the city and the library are both members, is the first national organization of its kind, consisting of schools, libraries, local nonprofits, and local governments. And it works for affordable home broadband service, public broadband access, and local trusted technology training and support, all of which are in our Digital Equity Action Plan. In cities and towns where local government has taken the lead on bridging the digital divide, there have been tangible social and economic benefits, as highlighted by the recent Council of Economic Advisors report issued just last month. In Kansas City, Chattanooga, and Cedar Falls, in Seattle and Nashville, through both private and municipal investment in broadband access, there have been efforts across the nation to bridge the digital divide. These communities have improved the lives of their citizens while enhancing their area's ability to compete in the 21st century economy. We look forward to joining these efforts, and we greatly appreciate your support of the Digital Equity Action Plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Questions for this panel?
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate the plan and how specific it is, the outcomes, and the fact you're going to report back. Mary Beth mentioned the budget request that's coming to the city, and I'm going to ask her about that in a moment. I just wondered, have you put in a request to the Library Board and to the County Board of Commissioners for funding, and if so, how much?
The library already makes a very significant investment in digital equity work, and we have added a number of positions to our budget recently. For example, our East County Technology Coordinator, which is a position that's just been in the budget for about a year or so now, is making a huge effort in East County providing technology training in both Spanish and English. We've just applied to N10. For the Nonprofit Technology Association for a grant that will allow us to bring on a coordinator who we hope will be able to coordinate some of the work of implementation of this Digital Equity Action Plan. Matt, I think.
Yeah. So, yes, the library does a tremendous amount, and the county, through their process of providing information technology, among much else, to the library, is also very engaged in providing digital inclusion and digital equity now. Multnomah County actually funded the plan, the creation of the Digital Equity Action Plan, with you. We shared those costs. We have not put forward a specific funding request around the Digital Equity Action Plan yet. We are going to be presenting, as Cindy mentioned, the plan on April 14th to the county board for adoption. And there's tremendous commitment to see it through and to see what funding opportunities and what areas the county can fund going forward. There's not a specific request yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do appreciate that it has been a triple partnership and, right, and the investment that the library has been making. In order for us to be able to justify a allocation in the city's budget, which is very constrained this year, I would want to see a similar amount from the county. And Mary Beth, generally, what would the $199,000 be used for?
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. We're hoping, quite frankly, we've been so busy putting together the plan and the process with all of our partners, that our next step is to move on and possibly look to Seattle and Nashville as a model. In those two communities, the city, the internet service providers, and local philanthropic organizations all contributed money to jumpstart their program. What I'm hoping is that we could do the same here. If the city could say, well, we'll put this in and ask some other entities to match that amount. And keep in mind that this is a 3-year plan. And so what I'd like to do is get the budget together, get our partners. We have a lot of community nonprofits, and come back and report each year. It's really a 3-year commitment at this point in time, because we want to be able to show tangible results. We can't wait and have a 10-year plan, you know, where we might produce something in the future. So we purposefully put ourselves under a very extreme time crunch to make something happen. In terms of the actual budget package, it would be a position to help secure grants and funding, but also to provide seed money to some of our local nonprofits who are doing incredible work, and you'll hear from today, but who need additional capacity because currently, for example, FreeGeek can't meet the demand for all the devices that are needed in the community. And it's only through dedicated resource that we're going to be able to make something happen and move this needle.
Thank you. So obviously I've read the plan, the council members have. Could you just summarize for folks at home some of the key pieces of what exactly is what is going to be done? Because what the presentation said told us how you got there and that there is a plan. I was really impressed with some of the particular pieces, and maybe others are
going
to address that.
Yeah, and we will have other speakers who will be addressing those things. But, for example, we'd like to expand free Wi-Fi from some of the schools into some of the lower-income neighborhoods. There's a lot of interest in Mid and East County with that particular plank. I mentioned one of the other ones is to help underrepresented populations be trained for jobs in the digital economy. We also, what we found is that there are some excellent programs, the libraries, Free Geek, Portland Community Media, but there's no overall strategy. And so by having an overall strategy, we're going to be able to focus resources and really make a difference. I think I focused on the process because this plan is really community driven, and I think highlighting the process was very important so that the viewers at home and the council could understand that this was not top down, this was bottom up.
So I have maybe not so much a question because I think you just addressed it, but that there's some cities that we've really learned from, Seattle, Nashville, you mentioned in particular, I assume that's an ongoing process, right? There's sort of a virtuous spiral here of people doing more and learning from each other. Some other takeaways maybe from that interaction with other cities, because we're not always first.
Yeah, I'll be going to the National Digital Inclusion Alliance get-together in May, and all of us attended. There was a very large contingent from Oregon, including Mary Beth and I and many others, who went to the Gigabit City Summit last year, which was really when we were at that summit when President Obama gave his speech about the connected cities. And so there is this groundswell of organizations and local governments talking to each other, and we are very much part of that dialogue and plan to continue being so.
Well, then I'm really happy to hear that. That's the way it should be. Cities are good about learning from each other. Commissioner Novick's Bureau, PBOT, is leading an effort right now in which we're a finalist for a project at the U.S. Department of Transportation for smart cities using technology to improve access and equity. So it seems to me there's some internal and partner connections that we ought to polish up and make sure that Maurice Henderson and your bureau is fully integrated with not only this plan, but the brain trust that you've assembled to work on it. One of the things that I think is a great opportunity for Portland in that competition is that the competition is about who can use technology in the smartest, most creative ways, but then who can teach other cities well. Mm-hmm. And we already do this quite a bit in transportation and land use and other areas, but it would be great if coming right out of the gate in our application we could show some ways that we would be immediately transferring value to other cities as a good partner, just like we've received good value. So I want to plant that seed because that, frankly, is our strategy. Hope those other cities aren't listening. But that's our strategy for how we're going to win this, is that Portland already teaches other cities. It's not a new thing for us to do this. And so this might be one more way in which we past this prologue that, hey, we're already a good partner. Here are five more ways that we'll do that. So just want to make sure that discussion's underway because that application gets finalized in June, right after you come back from the national meeting.
Could I just take just a second to make one other response to Commissioner Fritz's question, because I want to plug our Rockwood Library Makerspace. We just had the grand opening for that on Saturday, and that is a great example of collective action for digital equity, very much in the spirit of this plan. We started that project with a grant from the Mounted Cable Regulatory Commission. Our Library Foundation is raising the majority of the money to support that project, but the library is also committing around $300,000 to the project as well, and then the ongoing support and funding. And that's a place where kids in one of the most underserved communities in Multnomah County will have access to current technology that allows creation, something that everybody in our community really needs to have access to, and that we hope to really promulgate this idea of creative connected learning in our libraries throughout Portland and Multnomah County.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all very much. I want to call another panel who's here to inform our understanding of this document, Kofi Desu and Carol Studenman and Michael Armstrong. Come on up, please. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales. Good morning, City Commissioners. My name is Kofi Desu. I work for the Office of Equity and Human Rights, City of Portland. But I also serve as president of a nonprofit called Togo Community Organization of Oregon. As a community leader, I'm deeply involved in community work, and I learned a lot about the needs in our communities in regards to digital access, and also the expectation that communities have for the city government. And I bring that information back to my office, share with my colleagues. But I want to share a little story. 2 years ago, a woman, a neighbor, 85 years old, knocked at my door asking me to help her connect her computer to the internet. Her husband used to do that, but her husband got ill and transferred to a nursing home. And the woman told me that the computer became her only companion. And my wife, my daughter, and myself had to work to help her every day, taking turns. It is touching. And for 1 year, we have helped her, and she moved to another residence. So if you ever go to Africa House, you'll see how much the elders in our community are excited about learning how to use the computer to connect, you know, to the world and so on. You will see a lot of young people using the internet there to do their homework with the help of other community members. So the digital access has become a necessity. The technology has become a powerful tool that we can do without it. And we are embedding technology to every service that we deliver to our communities. So this is to tell you that this digital action plan is not an isolated thing. You know, a few weeks ago, Business Solutions from the Technology Service, the Bureau of Technology Service, here invited Judith Maury, the acting director of my office, and myself to come and discuss, you know, the role of the technology services in equity. And it was, you know, encouraging to see that the Bureau of Technology Services has updated their mission statement to include, to focus on internal stakeholders and external stakeholders, meaning the community that we serve. And, you know, that means that we are doing something at the City of Portland, and it's very encouraging. So I wanted to testify that this digital action plan is a very good thing, and that we will evaluate the success through the outcomes that, you know, the implementation will yield. Your leadership is very critical in this. You know, I already applaud your leadership, but I am asking you to empower the teams that, you know, will be working on the implementation and provide the appropriate resources so that we can make this happen. That means closing the gaps in terms of digital access and also achieve the equity outcomes that we want to see in the community. I want to congratulate Mary Beth Henry for leading this, you know, coordinating this, thing. And I've seen how many community members, businesses have been involved in this process. So again, I thank you for your leadership, and I would like to ask again to empower the teams that are going to be working on this implementation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. I'm Carol Studenman, Chair of the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, and I'm pleased to say that the entire commission is very excited about the Digital Equity Action Plan and any role we can play in that. The MHCRC is proud to be a collaborative partner on digital equity, and we urge you to adopt the resolution and plan and include funding in next year's budget. The MHCRC already plays an important role in digital equity through our grants programs. Through the TechSmart Initiative for Student Success, we provide funding for technology, curriculum, connectivity, and training to students in all the schools in school districts in Multnomah County to positively impact academic outcomes for all students. The initiative provides grants to school districts for technology and teacher support in order to innovate and transform teaching strategies and practices made possible by the franchise agreement with Comcast. Let me cite a few of the exciting grants we've made. Park Rose School District received nearly $400,000 to fund a robust wireless network at Park Rose High School and teacher training to support staff in learning how to use digital content to create effective learning environments. And one of the features of that plan was to make sure the Wi-Fi covered the entire campus so students could come on nights and weekends and connect to the Wi-Fi to do their schoolwork. David Douglas School District received nearly $1 million to fund iPads for all preschool students, Chromebooks for the kindergarten to third grade students, and smart boards at the Earl Boyles Early Learning Center. When the students move up to kindergarten, they graduate to using Chromebooks so they can begin working on their keyboarding skills. Isn't that cool? Portland Public Schools was awarded $5.1 million for third grade reading, a 5-year pilot project focused on improving K through third grade student reading outcomes and closing the achievement gap for students of color and other historically underrepresented student populations. The grant funds instructional technology, infrastructure, related digital curriculum assets, in addition to critical teacher training and support in order to effectively use the instructional technology and digital assets in the classroom. The culture is truly changing in how students are learning to read. Reynolds School District was awarded $1.3 million for the Reynolds Transformation to Constructivist Classrooms and Secondary Math Project. And that's a mouthful, but it's a great program. The 4-year project focuses on transforming math instruction at the middle school and ninth grade levels and improving ninth grade credit attainment in math. Studies show that if kids don't earn those important credits in ninth grade, they don't move on to graduate from school. It's really important. The project also focuses on closing the achievement gap for students of color and other historically underrepresented student populations. The grant funds instructional technology, infrastructure, and digital curriculum assets in addition to critical training and in-class teacher support in order to enable hands-on, project-based learning in technology-rich classrooms. These grants provide the digital part of the Digital Equity Action Plan. In order for the equity part of the planning to be in place, our community needs for these students to have access to broadband internet at home so they can do their homework with equivalent devices and connectivity as they have at school. The Digital Equity Action Plan before you today will ensure that that happens, and I urge you to support the Digital Equity Action Plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Michael.
Mayor Hales and Commissioners, good morning. My name is Michael Armstrong. I'm the Sustainability Manager for the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, also part of a still-forming cross-bureau effort to coordinate smart cities initiatives across all the bureaus, which you referenced earlier and is an important need that's becoming clear. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability strongly supports the Digital Equity Action Plan. We really appreciate the leadership of the Office of Community Technology, partnership with Multnomah County, the library districts, and the community organizations in developing this. Digital equity is a key piece of the Portland Plan, which included actions specifically around broadband equity and around providing universal access to high-speed internet, devices, and training. Those are the pieces that are spelled out explicitly in this new plan. It details how we're going to do it and with whom, and those are both key pieces to success. Digital equity is also essential for us to succeed with this emerging set of smart cities initiatives. We're making real-time data available about transportation, about air quality, public safety, events, We have to make sure that that information is reaching everyone. That's the organizing concept of the Portland Plan. We're following that through in the Climate Action Plan, now through the update to the Comprehensive Plan. Success with all of those plans depends very importantly on success with the Digital Equity Action Plan. The goals are solid. The actions are sound. It won't be easy, but we certainly are interested in being a part of supporting its implementation and participating in the Digital Inclusion Network. So the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability is very eager to see this move forward, and we look forward to partnering on its implementation. Thank you.
Thank you all. Questions for this panel?
I have a question for the chair of the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. You mentioned some of the grants that you're giving. Given the constraints of the city's budget, is it a possibility that the commission could allocate funding, the amount of funding that's being requested from the general fund?
I'm not the person to talk to because our contract with our cable provider is very complicated and fixed. So I don't believe that our funds can do that, but I don't think I'm the correct person to ask.
Okay. But so, yes, I should have framed that in terms of just generally before we voting on our budget, I'll want to be looking at where the appropriate, whether that source of dedicated funding, which does go to the same kind of things, could be used to fund the things that Mary Beth is asking for. But thank you very much.
Worth finding out.
It's not a right now question because obviously this is a great plan and we do need to figure out how to fund it.
I'm looking to my friend Ben Walters to my right. He knows a lot more than I do about that.
Okay. Other questions? Thank you all very much. I know we have a number of community partners that are signed up to speak. I want to ask you to briefly come up and do that. So let's call on those that are signed up, please.
We have 16 people signed up. The first three are Chris Smith, Dwayne Johnson, and Skip Newberry.
Good morning. Yeah, if you could try to keep it to a couple of minutes, that would be helpful because we just have a lot of you and a lot of other things on our agenda this morning. I know Chris is always succinct and to the point.
I'll try to be. In fact, I have to dash to another appointment, so as soon as I'm done, I'm going to run away. Chris Smith, Vice Chair of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, testifying as an individual this morning. The Internet is incredibly important to me. I earn my living helping my employer talk to its customers on the Internet. That gives me the income and the flexible schedule to be able to do my civic activism. In the nonprofit sector, I have a project that uses the Internet to help people find out when the bus is coming so they can make, you know, making using transit easier. Very, very aware that the Internet is increasingly the gateway to opportunity. I was pleased to work on some of the Portland Plan policies that Michael talked about. Adding broadband equity is an important principle in the Portland Plan. And I wholeheartedly endorse today's agenda item. And want to preview for you the same issue in the comp plan. So the Planning Sustainability Commission carried the concept of broadband equity from the Portland plan into the comp plan. We know we're on the cusp of widespread fiber to the home adoption. And we think that just as it's important that the comp plan cares that every home in Portland have good water service, we believe that every neighborhood in Portland should have good fiber access to the neighborhood and to the home. And we placed policies in the comp plan that will help the city stay focused on that. Unfortunately, there are amendments pending that would significantly weaken those policies. So in addition to passing today's item, I would urge you to reject comp plan amendments P68 and P85. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Dwayne Johnson. I am a partner at Scale Up Partners, which works on inclusion, economic inclusion, regionally across the state, I mean across the country. I'm also the deputy director of Innovate Oregon, which works on essentially connecting the entire community to the digital economy. So I actually have another list of things that I do, but in this case, I'm speaking as an individual contributor, so to speak. I look at this personally. I've been in technology most of my life. And the only reason that I had that life is because I got access when I was relatively young. I literally was in a bungalow in my junior high school. I walked in and I saw an old teletype. And I asked, what was that? And they said, don't touch it, which meant I had to know what that was. It turned out that it was a terminal that was connected to the San Diego City Schools. And they had a Star Trek program on it that me and my friends fell in love with, and we wanted to know how it works. So by the time we graduated from high school, this small cadre of friends, we learned how to program. We taught ourselves multiple languages. We were writing programs for the school. We had actually talked to our timeshare coordinator at the city schools, and we were writing programs for them. So I ended up following that into a career and have started several companies because of that. And that opportunity is what's missed when we don't give access to people in multiple communities. So the idea is to be able to set that platform that they can't have, that we can't. In other words, making that access possible and using that as a framework to build opportunity into our future.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Good morning, Skip.
Morning. Morning, Mayor and members of Council. My name is Skip Newberry. I'm president of the Technology Association of Oregon and also chairman of the Board of Technology Councils of North America. Just wanted to take a minute to thank the city and the county, as well as the library system, for their leadership on this initiative. Last year, to give you a sense of the impact that technology has in the state, the region added 10,000 tech jobs, and by comparison, Austin added about 4,500 and Seattle about 7,500. And the average tech wage is about $110K now in Oregon. Now, career pathways into technology have never been more accessible and clear. That is, assuming you have some familiarity with how to access the internet, it's affordable for you to do so, and you know what to do when you get on the internet. It's also never been more accessible or clearer in terms of how you can access health-related resources, government services through the internet. But again, it assumes that one has access to the internet. And yet 15% of Portland's households do not have access to the internet. So as a community, we definitely have an obligation to ensure that economic opportunity, whether in tech or in other sectors, is open to all. And I think that the proposed Digital Equity Action Plan does a very clear, thoughtful job of laying out a strategy for how we can connect the dots across all of our community partners, many of which are doing great work, but the resources are diffuse. This helps to address that and focus resources in a way that I think will be really impactful for the region. And to the mayor's point and to Michael's point, this plan, having it in place, really only strengthens the city's USDOT Smart City Challenge proposal. Equity is a big part of that. And then I think, in general, the association that I represent really thinks that because of those points, this plan should be adopted, and we encourage council to provide support for it. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Appreciate your partnership. Thank you.
Next three are Betty Dominguez, Colleen Dixon, and Patricia McLean.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and commissioners. My name is Betty Dominguez. I am the Director of Policy and Equity at Home Forward, which, as you know, is the housing authority that serves the county. Home Forward first became involved with the Digital Inclusion Network in the fall of 2014 and have followed this work because we believe it is so important to the residents and clients that we serve. You've heard previous panels describe the underrepresented populations, many of whom live with us. We know how important it is for children to access broadband, to do their homework, for their parents to be able to do job applications, pay their bills, and for our seniors to be, bless you, for our seniors to be able to renew prescriptions and keep in touch with their families. We have 9,000 Section 8 vouchers that we administer in the county and another 6,000 hard units that we own and operate. That's 15,000 households and thousands of children who we believe strongly will benefit from digital access, and it will be an opportunity for them to reach some level of self-sufficiency and to increase their quality of life. So you heard the folks from the library mention a little bit ago that they had applied to N10 for a grant. We have also applied for a digital fellow to help us implement our digital plan. We're awaiting word, hopefully, that we were successful, but if we unfortunately were not, we intend to move forward with this work. And if I may, I have a statement to read from Michael Bonacore, our executive director, who couldn't be here today because he's out of town. So that counts as two testimonies, right? Okay. Home Forward is excited to support the Digital Inclusion Network's Digital Equity Access I just spaced out. Action plan, thank you. In our forthcoming strategic plan, we will highlight our intention to increase access to technology for our residents, participants, and to create more avenues for the community to interact with us via technology. Our strategic plan will also continue to emphasize the importance of alignment with our systems partners. In other words, we want to make sure whatever we do in this arena supports efforts in the larger community like these of the Inclusion Network. As the action plan points out, communities of color, seniors, people with disabilities, immigrant communities, and people with low incomes are among the most digitally excluded, and they are exactly who Home Forward serves in great numbers. Last summer, a focus group was held at our New Columbia property by the Inclusion Network, and it's just a small example, but a great one of how we can support each other's work. We applaud the network's recognition that having the action plan informed by the community is a critical early step, and we look forward to collaborating to support what comes next. Also want to put in a plug, I want to applaud the library system for the Rockwood Makerspace. We have a number of properties in Rockwood, and that space is going to be really valuable to our children and their parents. So in conclusion, we would just like to urge the council to adopt this Digital Equity Action Plan and any funding requests that may come afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As I inadvertently demonstrated exactly on cue, I need to renew my allergy prescription. So,
see?
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Patricia McLean. I'm the Administrative Coordinator of Programs at Human Solutions, and we're a community development corporation and anti-poverty organization serving East Portland and East Multnomah County. Most of us take technology for granted. We get upset if it doesn't function the way we want it to. We become annoyed at having to upgrade our equipment. But for families experiencing poverty, most of this is out of reach. Yes, there are public spaces with Wi-Fi, and yes, the library is doing an amazing job at providing access to technology. It is not enough for families living at or below the poverty line. People who struggle to provide nutritious food and shelter for their children, who want the best for them, are truly unable to provide them with the tools they need to succeed academically. There is no room in their budgets for all their basic needs, much less the tech equipment and internet access needed for them to complete homework and communicate with teachers, to become skilled enough to stay current with tech trends, enough to hope to leave poverty. Hope dries up for many reasons, and when it does, it impacts us community-wide. Families living with very limited incomes need access to technology, and we need for them to have it. I encourage you to adopt the Digital Equity Action Plan as a first step to providing access for all. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Colleen Dixon. I'm the Director of Development and Public Services at Free Geek. We are one of the nonprofits that have been involved in the Digital Inclusion Network. We take used technology and transform it into opportunity for folks in our community. In the last year, we gave over 5,000 devices to folks in need in the community, and we have a huge waiting list of people who still need computers. And just as part of that kind of three-legged approach of needing devices, education on how to use them, and then access to the internet. Doing that work, Free Geek's been around for about 16 years, and we've done that work in relative isolation, and it's very exciting to see a local movement growing for digital inclusion and digital equity work, to be a part of that planning group and that process and connecting it to a national movement that's underway. The power of that and just having support and resources to connect our work to each other, meeting different organizations, seeing where we can align and create this plan has been incredibly powerful. And we absolutely are excited to see where we go with this and resources that can further that work and encourage you all to adopt the plan.
Thank you. That 5,000 number is up a bit from the last report I heard from Free Geek.
So. Yeah, hopefully every year, more and more if we can.
That's very impressive. Good work. Thank you. Okay, let's take more folks that are signed up.
Promise King, Chris Taylor, and Gary Hsu.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Promise, the floor is yours.
10 years ago, My name is Promise King, Executive Director of League of Minority Voters. 10 years ago, while I worked for Commissioner Sussman, he sent me, gave me a matching order. He said, you have to ensure that we have the community have access to utilities, that the rates are fair. During that process, I understand that there are expectations that ordinary Portland citizens have their elected officials. They expect that when they turn on the light will light up, that when they turn on their water faucet, water will come out. They also expect that they have a digital access to digital is available. Those expectations, Mayor Hales, is not unreasonable. Today we come because as part of infrastructure, there are communities that have no access. Imagine that a community that is water off from electricity, water off from water. That is where we are. That is the sad situation we are as it relates to digital equity. This is why at the League of Minority Voters, 4 years ago, we started Cool Science Express. This program was supposed to involve science, technology, engineering, math, and science in poor neighborhoods. We took up inside a bus, and we said instead of waiting for these poor kids to come to a place where they have transportation challenge, we'll drive the bus to their neighborhoods. Wait a minute, that bus will require a lot of bandwidth, which we don't have. We believe that this effort, we're emboldening our effort to take science, engineering, and math, and technology direct to those communities. Thank you. We urge you to support this bill.
Thank you. Thank you. Great idea. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the commission. My name is Chris Taylor. I'm the head of business operations for Google Fiber here in Portland. As you know, Google Fiber has been working with the city of Portland, surrounding communities, and others to explore bringing Google Fiber to the Portland area. We're very excited about the potential benefits that deploying gigabit speed internet could bring to our community, and we're excited about the progress we've made in recent months towards making that a reality. I participated in all the public meetings leading to the development of this plan, and we commend the city and county for their inclusive process to develop this plan and seeking input from all the people you've heard from today and others. I would just highlight that Portland actually, relatively speaking, has a relatively low level of digital divide compared to some other cities we've worked in where the number is 30-some-odd percent. But we have a very high level of political commitment, as you've seen today, and buy-in from the community and leaders such as yourself to solving this problem. My point there is I think we actually can make a real difference on this issue in our community because we've got a high level of engagement and we've got a problem that's serious but potentially solvable, and I think this is a great first step. At Google, we talk a lot about the importance of super fast internet speeds and how it can move communities forward. You've heard today from others about the importance of this issue, so I won't go on and on. But school children applying for a job, doing your homework. I've got two kids in public school. Their homework is on the internet. It's not a nice to have. It's a necessity today. And we're very committed to that at Google Fiber. To address the digital divide will require a variety of strategies. I think everybody else has highlighted that today. You don't just need access to the internet. You need a device, and you need to know how to use it. We think those three components are what we've learned in our work in other cities, and we think is reflected in this plan, and we very much support that. I would also agree with what others have said, that the process to develop this plan has already had good results in terms of bringing these people together and identifying what's already happening, how we can leverage that and do better. The two pieces that are particularly relevant to us I'd like to highlight are the focus on providing affordable access to the internet and public housing, something we're very committed to. We've partnered with Secretary Castro and HUD to provide free gigabit speed internet in the public housing units that we've connected, and we hope to do that here in Portland as well and are already in conversations with Home Forward about that. And you heard about the Digital Inclusion Fellowship, which is actually a partnership between Google Fiber and N10, and we're providing approximately $1 million a year in funding to support that program. We're glad to bring that here to Portland and look forward to good results here. So in conclusion, we applaud the city for developing this plan and the broader commitment it represents to addressing this important issue, and we look forward to working together to achieve this vision. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Hi. This is the first time I've ever address to
the
city. So
welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Gary Hsu. I'm an instructional technology integration specialist with Reynolds School District, and I work I worked as a participant in this whole action planning process. I'm here to as a representative of all of the teacher participants in that process as well. We all believe that regular and consistent access to the internet is essential to every student's success. I believe our community should never, ever allow for things that promote any division of our community's members, especially when this involves our most important human capital investment, our community's children. The Digital Equity Plan accomplishes this. In schools, basic technology skills are dependent on regular access to the internet. Basic technology skills, which are dependent on regular access to the internet, should always be a byproduct of every single student's educational experience nowadays. Right now, this only happens for students whose situations afford them this kind of access. And this is not something that any of us in this room likely are missing from our lives. I don't want to see this basic access missing from any person's life. It's a consensus among educators that internet access is an essential component to every student's success and should not only be available to those who can afford. This access is what will allow every student the ability to reach their goals in education, work, and positive community contribution. Existing programs that have a reduced access cost are not really sufficient and won't ever guarantee consistent access to the internet for our students. I have students regularly support, along with some of my colleagues, that their families sometimes prioritize this kind of payment, sometimes they don't, and that creates inconsistency for our children. Educators all over the region share stories of students sitting on a curb or fence line at schools, working on their homework into the dark, rainy, and often cold evenings. This shouldn't be the only option for our children as they see to their future success, and we should do better for our children. Our community holds a responsibility to invest in our human capital, and I thank you for your time and consideration in all of this, understanding and compassion regarding what is best for our children and their futures.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
All right. Other folks that are signed up?
Are John Washington, Samuel Pastrick, and Josh Klein.
Okay. Come on up. Morning.
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 Who goes first? I go first. Okay. Good morning, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. My name is Sam Pastrick, and I'm here today as a representative of the Citizens Utility Board of Oregon. As you folks may know, CUB represents the interests of residential utility ratepayers in front of administrative, judicial, and legislative bodies. We've done so for over 30 years now. I was also a participant in the public process to create the DEEP before you here today, and I'm now continuing participation with the Regional Digital Inclusion Network. So while broadband internet is largely unregulated, at least at the state level, fast, reliable, and affordable access for consumers is something of particular interest of myself, but also CUB. Fair inclusion in the digital world is critical for anyone needing access to employment, education, medical services, as well as wanting to participate civically in really any meaningful way. Broadband's become essential to daily life. You've heard this already, so much so that it's akin, in our opinion at CUB, to flipping a light switch, adjusting a thermostat, turning a tap. It's critical, and we believe that Portlanders and county residents should also enjoy equitable access to the internet. So why DEEP and why now? You've heard these statistics, but I do want to recite them again. I think they're worth repeating. 15% of Portland area households do not currently have access at home. Folks of color, immigrant communities, older adults, people with disabilities, these are all communities that sorely lack access to broadband internet. 42% of non-internet users report, I'm going to have to move quicker here. Okay. I want to go over a few things real quick. Economic outcomes, medical outcomes, education outcomes. Again, you know, we've heard this before. You know, really, in closing, CUB supports this work, and we really do look forward to participating in local action to address the digital divide. Really, what's good for consumers is also what's good for the community, what's good for Portland, what's good for the county. And the Portland area is both a regional and national leader in a number of policy fronts, namely transportation, climate action, equitable broadband adoption should really be no different. And with recent changes to the Federal Lifeline Program, we believe the time is now to adopt forward-thinking policy aimed at bridging the digital divide. So, you know, we hope that you all support this platform.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. Welcome.
Thank you. Portland City Council members, my name is Josh Klein, and I'm the Chief Information Officer for Portland Public Schools. Prior to coming to the school district, I spent 11 years with the Oregon Department of Education, the last four as Chief Information Officer. I am a certified information systems auditor and have worked in the information technology industry for 19 years. I'm here today to speak with you in support of our recently published Digital Equity Action Plan that seeks to eliminate the digital divide that exists in our city. Portland Public Schools believes that access to reasonably priced high-speed broadband for all students and families is a requirement of the modern learning environment. Open and ubiquitous access to the internet supports racial equity, social justice, and digital citizenship. Today's students will be our future leaders, and it is critical that we provide them with the necessary tools to succeed. When properly empowered, Portland students will create the technologies, systems, and services that our city and country need to compete in a digital economy and a connected world. Research shows that citizens who possess digital literacy skills will have greater access to education, housing, employment, healthcare, news, and other services, while those who do not are falling behind at an ever-increasing rate. The mission of Portland Public Schools is to prepare students for college, career, and participation as an active community member regardless of race, income, or zip code. We see the elimination of the digital divide as an essential step in achieving this mission. Portland Public Schools looks forward to continuing and deepening our involvement in the Digital Inclusion Network. The Digital Equity Action Plan identifies PPS as a supporting partner for several proposed strategies, including partnership in a computer repurposing program and an expansion of access of the school district's free public Wi-Fi network. I am truly excited about the intent and promise of this work and ask that you appropriately adopt and fund this three-year action plan. Thank you for this opportunity to voice my support for digital equity.
Thank you. Thank you both. Okay, anyone else on the list?
Is there
for this?
John Washington?
Okay. I guess he had to leave.
Okay, thank you. Then the last three are Laquita Lanford, Charles Johnson, and Nancy Newell.
Okay, come on up. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Good to see you all. Haven't seen you all in 2016, except for at other meetings. But there's three things that bring me
put
here
your
today.
Name in the record, Laquita.
I'm sorry?
Just put your name in the record.
Laquita Lanford.
Thank you.
There's three reasons that really bring me here today. One was I participated in the focus group for African Americans in New Columbia last summer. And what I realized in that focus group is that the women of color, single moms, grandmothers, and women from the disabled community felt unrepresented and wasn't confident about being able to help their children or their grandchildren or themselves with navigating the system because they had no access. There is a couple different places that they can go in New Columbia to get on the computers and stuff, but they don't know how to navigate the systems. Second step was I took with there was a grant that Social Justice Fund had put out, and I rallied some women together for us to, from hearing those women's testimonies and my own testimony, and saying that there's something that needs to be taken care of in this action, and what I can do as a community organizer, what I can do as a community leader to bring women together, and so that we can figure out a way to utilize the resources in our communities. So we applied for a grant. Successfully, we got the grant. It was just a small seed money to start this conversation. And I also participated in the digital equity planning of this. And so I'm really excited about all of the information that I heard before and the steps that we can take forward as a community. And as working with the women, what we saw, what we were inspired by, were women from Africa and women from India. And they were doing this model in their communities going forward. And I really believe that this is something that we can do and create hub spaces so that our community of color and people can just drop in and get these tools and these resources that they need and not just have to be subjective of going to the library and only having like an hour to be able to like dig into what it is that they need to. And also, if we're creating a mindset of STEM education, our kids are unable to practice those and those hands-on get those hands-on experience if they don't have access at home. So I really appreciate if you guys would endorse this for us in our community because it's a need. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Mr. Johnson, I think you're next.
Ladies first.
If she'd like.
Okay, 2 minutes. Thank you, Commissioner, for mentioning money. I have a suggestion. Google is extremely wealthy, and they can provide it for our city. Google is planning to come in. I don't know if anyone has heard John McPherson's lecture at Powell's Books. The book just recently came out.